So in other words, the head of the astronomy section there at SETI, he lied.
Well, okay, there you go. Yes, you'd have to say so.
If you bring another fact in, too, back in 1997, wasn't it then that Dr. Bruce Cornett, who was a while a deputy director of NIDS, for reasons unknown, he felt that he had to go to a certain spot in New York along the Hudson River.
Oh, you're right.
With a camcorder and a secretary, etc., and a UFO made several passes at him, and he contacted you.
Right.
And what happened after that?
Okay, here's the way that went. Bruce Cornett, was deputy director under Colin Kelleher of NIDS. And we know that NIDS was funded by Robert Zeigler. Okay. Cornett, after receiving that, looked over those things that you personally delivered to NIDS, and he got a hold of me. He wanted to share his experience with photographing a UFO. Where was it? New Jersey or New York?
It was in New York, I think.
Right. And he, Dr. Cornett's been on your show, Jerry.
Yes, and we talked about that particular thing. The first time I ever had him on, he was talking about, they didn't give me the inside baseball story. He just gave me the story about seeing the UFOs.
Well, this is what that amounts to. Dr. Cornett said that the craft turned its belly up to it, and it had a white light on the right, a white light on the left, and in the center was a red light. Now, we refer to this now as the Cornett signal. You would have a red light, which would we know it's the marker that more or less says begin. And the white light would flash, and then the camcorder, of course, all camcorders run at 30 frames a second. But this was based upon, these measures are based upon 29 frames. And what we found is that these signals were not consistent. In other words, it wasn't like a strobe, you know, an airplane, you know, blink, 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 blink. No, this is blink. Red light would go, then you get a white light on the left, you wait so many frames that you get a white light on the right. So I got that information. He had those particular bit of information on his website. And you probably had that. It's Monmouth, his website. But anyway, what I took those and found that in fact, those messages, those flashing lights that Dr. Cornett recorded were based on the raw system of mathematics. It was spelling out what we call a rod, and the divisions of that rod, which is omega right, one up. And so here we have, the link directly to the message. They are definitely trying to get us to accept and understand the raw system of mathematics so that they could give us information along those using that mathematical system. There's no doubt. Now, as soon as...
That sounds to me like they're trying to tell us something, maybe about hydrogen.
That's correct. I'm absolutely sure of that, Jerry. Now, Dr. Cornett's verification, that's a record now. We have, but as soon as he let me know about it, he was fired. Bigelow said, take a walk. And that was a sudden thing. And then again, it's the way that it, we thought that Nid would just say, oh, this is wonderful. Let us, you know, get on the case here and let's get these things. Now, that's not the way it turned out. That the way I saw the organization, I don't mind saying this straight out, is Nid said that they had all the Robert Bigelow's money, and that if anybody came up with such a worthwhile investigation, he'd get behind it, and he would get to the bottom of it, and the person who started, putting them on the right track or something, would get, recognized and so forth. That's not the way they, that's not their, really not what happened. People were sending things to Nid. Yeah, well, the first thing is, they say, oh, we checked this out, we checked this out, and it proves to be nothing. And then they start a little method of intimidation, attempting to more or less say, well, if you continue to believe in this, then you're an idiot or you're a fool. And we have PhDs here, so we know what we're talking about. We just told you there's nothing to do with this. I also heard that it was said that if Bigelow had to spend $200 to check something out, more than $200, he wouldn't do it. Now, I got that from the horse's mouth, believe me. So, it's just that all they were was just a way to gather information. And,
yeah. Now, in this PDF file that we have attached, that people can go read, you lay out the tones, and you even mentioned the hertz cycles per second.
Well, what we got there, that's this 18-page thing. If that could also, be obtained, with the PDF point. They'll get the picture, everybody. It's like we did with the, UFO file show that you and Larry did. I listened to that last night. Where you recommend that, first and look at the PDF, on the finding of Flight 19,
I would recommend that people check out the story of Flight 19. It seems you have something there, Wes. It is pretty evident, really, that this missing plane could be sitting out there in space, quite a distance from Earth. Wes Bateman and Rod Davis will be right back for the second half of the show, so don't go away.
My Search for the Afterlife is a book that explores real communications between a father and his deceased son. Uniquely authored from beyond the grave and co-authored in this world, the book chronicles the miraculous journey of communication beyond death. Learn more about the book, My Search for the Afterlife. Visit their website at www.mysearchfortheafterlife.com. That's mysearchfortheafterlife.com.
Messages from outer space. SETI has them, or do they not have them? That is the question. Okay. I'm not Shakespeare, guys. So let's get back to the subject at hand. Wes Bateman, when we went to the break, we were discussing ET contact. And Rod Davis, I think you have a question for Wes on this subject, don't you?
Why would the extraterrestrials, with the knowledge that they have and the abilities that they have, why would they not land on a White House lawn and make all of this knowledge public instead of using a clandestine method like this of using the 9 ET messages and God knows how many others they've tried to
send? Well, I think you said it right there, God knows. This is what we've understood. I've been at investigating the UFO thing for 40 years, and people say, well, where in the world have you been? Why aren't you out there, telling us what you know. Well, I'm very glad for 40 years that I have been more or less in seclusion on this thing. I know there are people with abilities to telepathically communicate with extraterrestrials, and I make that claim myself. But there are more phonies out there than there are legitimate people. I'm persona non grata when it comes to a lot of people. I really do believe I'm on some blacklist, you know. I did on occasions, I think it was the Congress. I appeared as one of the, what do they call that? Anyway, it's a very large thing. The fellow that promoted it, that put it on yearly, was named Stonier. And his people, they said, if Zaitman is going to be here, we won't show up. Why? It's because the data that we have studied tells us that ETs are not communicating with everybody. I put people in this category, you know, there's the real telepath, but there's also what I call the woo-woo channelers, false contactees, those that claim they're messiahs, or they are representatives of the extraterrestrials. Now, you know, how do you separate them? Where you say, I know I'm doing it. Well, they all claim that. And you can't possibly get any logic or figure out why these things are not going, you know, why they're not landing on the White House lawn or whatever. You're never going to find that out as long as that, you know, all that falsehood and baloney is going on out there. But what did we do? We pinned down the fact that there exists on the planet Earth a condition called the frequency barrier. In the very ancient past, the fifth planet of this system exploded and brought about a condition on the Earth that caused human life and animal life to devolve. Now, this ties in with what Michael Cremo is saying in his writings, which are called Forbidden Archaeology and Human Devolution. In fact, I just received a email from Dr. Cremo. If he read what we got on the website there, he addressed the fact he is strongly interested in part four. Now, what is this? And the other thing we want to make clear is that we all live in what is called a universal life field. It is all permeating what we would say omnipresent. Now, anything that's alive has a great deal to do with the universal life field. That includes the extraterrestrials. The problem is that anybody claims, you know, that somebody says, well, how do you get into the UFO business? I said, well, the first thing you do is you buy a cash register, and then you have a choice. There's a list of, you know, what the claims you are. You can claim yourself to be a messiah, that's okay. And you know, it's that easy. And too many people pick up on it. And your easy way out is if somebody starts kicking you down on things, say, no, what the extraterrestrials are for the future. You know, and of course, you don't understand that. Well, people don't stop and realize that the person, you know, that's telling them that wouldn't understand such a thing either. Not for the future, a parallel universe. Well, what I'm saying is, now we're dealing with real three-dimensional individuals. Our problems our physical problems. We had this frequency barrier condition on the Earth. We're only using 20% of our brain power. The extraterrestrials are using a great deal more of it. When we are able to use our full potential, we obtain a state which is called cosmic consciousness, or the ability of infinite thought. It's the highest form of extrasensory perception. You see, to a man who is blind, those of us who can see have extrasensory perception. The ETs, you could take the universe life field, which we call the ULF, or ULF, and divide it into four major parts. The part that we're quite familiar with is the molar level, where we use our five senses: hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, feeling, by touching. Now, the brain is a molar level item, but the mind is not. It belongs to the next level up, called the micro level. Now, we use our this condition called the frequency barrier keeps us from using higher mental frequencies, because we can't use a great deal. See, we only use 20% of our brain. Now, the question is, evolution doesn't make sense there. We got this great brain, but we can't use it. But that's a good sign that we are not evolving at all. We are re-evolving. And the EPs have been, there's two types, the negative and the positive comes in. I heard on the show that, I think it was Larry Dickens brought out the Kufakabra. And he would drive on the money. He'd say, well, this could be an EP thing. And, in my book, he is absolutely correct. What type of EP is they don't have good intention. They're using this unique condition that exists on the Earth called the frequency barrier to produce Shavira, which are the combined human with animal parts. And, all the horror stories you hear about going on at the Delphi base, well, they're not going on there now, but that the mixing and matching of animal and human tissue. And, we don't have enough time to get into why they're doing that, so that's why we got the Knowledge from the Stars articles there on Rod's website, and you can get into it there. But there is definitely, we're dealing with real individuals, flesh and blood. They're at odds with each other. They're not afraid of any government. They don't have to make deals with any government. They're just doing their thing. And here's one other problem. The government is aware of the frequency barrier. For all they know, this condition is going to continue on for 1,000 years into the future. They know the EPs are going to keep looking at it. But what kind of world would we have? What kind of order? What kind of system economics and so forth could we keep together if everybody knew they were living under this condition, and the government can't do anything about it? That real reason for non-disclosure is they're going to go on as long as they can to protect the economic system and the religious structure we got here. Now, if they knew that the frequency barrier was going to disappear tomorrow, I'm sure the government come right out and tell everybody, hey, this is what's going on. But till then, it's a waste of time.
I've heard the heathens
have been coming here thousands of years. They observe earthquakes, volcanic eruptions, because the earth is vibrating, producing that condition. But about 20,000 years ago, key strata layers in the planet slid back into their normal position, and the conditions have are weakened. We are definitely going, we're definitely in the final stages of the frequency barrier. It's an estimated that the barrier will disappear sometime between the year 2012 and 2018. And at that point, open physical contact with the ETs there'd be no problem. You see, they can't come into this condition unprotected. Otherwise, they're thrown off biologically. What Sasquatch? Sasquatch is an experiment. They put down private emails into this condition in order to determine how this unnatural vibration coming from our planet's core is going to affect the development of the Sasquatch fetus. Why don't you find them? That's because before the baby comes to full term, they pick up the child and the mother. Why don't you? Okay, look at all the new species or species they thought had been extinct. They're finding the Kolaka. Extinct for 70 million years. They're pulling those fish in off the coast of Madagascar. They're finding what they call the Laotian rock rat that disappeared from the only fossils that were found. And all of a sudden, there they are. You know, they're coming back.
Well, what kind? Tucker
disappeared for 60 years. What they're doing is reintroducing these species.
So what happens in 2018 or 2019?
Well, you're going to find out that there is such a thing as the Federation. I tried to pass that same picture off to Roddenberry and Gene Coons back before Star Trek was put in motion. And, they were believing it. And, They understood. What we're going for is what I say is going to be the great getting up morning. One day we're going to wake up and be able to use higher mental frequencies.
Are you saying one day we'll wake up and everybody will be very, very bright?
That's right. This is happening. We see this in the Indigo children. This is something to do with there's all kinds of the hybrids and things like that are not the kind of hybrids that the Greys would like to see occur, but the natural hybrid. The monkeys, the gorillas, the orangutans, and so forth. They're really ETs. They were existing on the planet for whatever reason when the frequency barrier began. And these various species split from the re-evolutionary line. In other words, they came to a point biologically where they could not date with us, or we couldn't date with them. In fact, the chimpanzee is believed to have left the line about 6.5 million years ago. Up until that time, they would have been considered the same species as we are. Now, Neanderthal and so forth, the answers to that is that, okay, so they're re-evolving. Now, what the other side, or the evil side, trying to do is find biological bridges in the frequency barrier that will explain why these extraterrestrial races did not continue to re-evolve. They want to find biological bridges to produce Shavira. In other words, you know what that is. You know, you're going to end up with a guy with wings on his back or something. And you know, it's not as ridiculous as if, you know, it was known what this actually means and what such a reality would, how such a reality would affect us and affect the extraterrestrials as well. It is really a diabolical thing. But just to say it is not good enough. You've got to explain it, and we're trying to do that. But that's why it's so confusing. Nobody really knows what the extraterrestrials have been doing. And then you've got these people that say, well, we're going to sit down with these guys, you know, a culture that was hundreds of millions of years old, and tell them how they got to deal with us. No way. That's a joke. Knowing what the ETs are all about, that's a joke. They're not going to do that.
Are we talking about more than one group of ETs? I mean, some bad, some good? And that's a relative term, I guess.
Well, here's the way you look at it. You see, we there's such a thing as space money.
I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there is. It's called life force. It can be measured, and you can put values of certain things on the life force. We send our life force through emotions. Anger, fear, worry, love. And anything somebody can do to get you to give your life force up, the UFOs is a great a mystery for a reason. Realities can be manifested into this level of perception. People say, well, I can't believe in something unless it's real. Well, you could make it real if you believe in it. If there's enough of this life force put into it, you could make it so. And they're the representation of every reality in different levels of the universal life field. And I use the idea of the wheel, you know, that this first started out as a cross-section of a log with a hole in the middle. Such a thing could be used too long over a brace of sand and rocks, and then they put metal tires, and they keep innovating. Now we're up to, you know, using bearings and so forth. Now those are realities, and those are improvements on a reality. If you understood one reality perfectly, you would join the consciousness of the Creator, because all is one. You understand one thing perfectly, or understand the whole universe. But we live in a dual universe. We have black and white, we have heat, cold, male and female, plus and negative. You know, it was Einstein that said, you know, they asked him to prove the existence of God and evil, and he said, well, cold is the absence of heat, light is the absence of darkness, and God is the absence of evil. And that, in a sense, is both things must exist, but you don't have to put your psychic energy to the negative end. You can if you want to. You can. There are those extraterrestrials that do. They are psychically vampiring